Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom. Now we're broadcasting from Fort Lauderdale to Fort Pierce on True Oldies every Monday at 6 o'clock. And I'm very excited that you decided to spend some of your evening with us tonight. I promise you, you won't be disappointed because we have a terrific show on a somewhat sensitive subject, but one where, honestly, we are making so much progress. Dr. Thomas Morrissey from Baptist Health is here to talk about cervical cancer, which used to be a real scourge, but we are making tremendous progress. There are wonderful advances. We're even going to talk about how we can prevent it and maybe ultimately wipe it out. I'm so excited to talk to Dr. Morrissey, which I'm going to do in just a second. But first, a couple of things. One, how about those playoffs? I know for all the Miami Dolphin fans, you guys were pretty disappointed. Us New York Giant fans, on the other hand, were pretty excited. And there's another great game tonight, but fortunately not until after we finish our show. I also want to talk about the fact that it's Martin Luther King Day. And, you know, this is a holiday which was all about nonviolent protest, equality for all. It's a universal spirit of inclusion, and I hope that you will all join me in taking a moment to appreciate what he went through during a very trying civil rights era to bring us all together. And I hope that everybody takes a moment to remember that. The other thing I want to talk about, and it's particularly important given tonight's subject matter, I want to talk about vaccinations. I'm first going to talk about the COVID vaccination and flu vaccinations. I know far too many people who are really getting sick. I saw this week that the latest booster numbers are only 39% of people over the age of 65. That's not good, because I know a lot of people who are getting pretty sick with COVID. So please go out and get your vaccination and flu shots. It's still time to get your flu shots. Of course, as the show unfolds tonight, we're going to talk a great deal about vaccinations of another kind, because my guest feels very strongly about that. So let me tell you more about Dr. Thomas Morrissey. He is the director of gynecologic oncology at the Eugene and Christine Lynn Cancer Institute, which is a part of Baptist Health South Florida. He's a specialist in the surgical and chemotherapeutic treatment of ovarian, uterine, cervical, and other female genital tract cancers. He has extensive experience in robotic-assisted laparoscopic surgery and radial radical surgical procedures to treat gynecological cancers. He joined Lynn Cancer Institute from Cleveland Clinic, Florida, where he was head of the Division of Gynecologic Oncology. He also served as clinical assistant professor of surgery at the Cleveland Clinic Lerner College of Medicine at Case Western Reserve University, and he's going to continue his position as clinical affiliate associate professor at FAU Schmidt College of Medicine. Dr. Morrissey is a fellow of the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology and the American College of Surgeons. He is a full member of the Society of Gynecology Oncologists. Dr. Morrissey, welcome to the show. How are you tonight?
Great. Thanks very much, Scott. Thanks for having me, and thanks for the introduction. Hopefully you have some time left, but I appreciate it.
We're going to give you plenty of time. So I teased that we are making, or you are, not we, you are making incredible progress in the diagnosis, the treatment, and the cure of cervical cancer. Why don't we start with how prevalent an issue are we talking about? How serious is this?
Right. So cervical cancer has been one of the biggest causes of death, you know, worldwide and also in the United States from female cancers. Fortunately, in the United States and also in Europe, we've been able to develop screening to catch precancerous changes, to either pick up, you know, cancers before they develop, where we can treat them with surgery, or we can catch cancers early where they're at a very fixable stage. And so with the advent of pap smears over the last, you know, 40 or 50 years, we've had a significant decrease in the amount of cervical cancer in the United States. In 2023, the estimate is going to be 14,000 cases per year in the United States and 4,000 deaths. And so in terms of, you know, that those numbers are also important because, you know, cervical cancer that's caught early is very curable. And so, again, since the number of people that die from cervical cancer is much less than the number of cases, means that we're able to cure the vast majority as long as we're not catching it very, very late. And we find that, you know, with pap smears, people getting pap smears regularly and cervical cancer screening and visits with their gynecologist, it's very, very rare in the United States for someone to have an advanced cervical cancer that's not fixable if they've had an exam within the last 5 years.
So, you know, I think it's safe to say, you know, that everybody, if you're going to be unfortunate enough to be diagnosed with cancer, you want to find it at the precancerous level or stage one. That requires, in order for that to happen, to be examined on a regular basis. But there are many people for whom the whole process of going to their gynecologist is sometimes a little scary. So maybe we could talk about how often people should go, how regularly, when women should start to go for gynecologic exams, and how long should they continue to get them, and how regularly?
Right. So those things are changing, and it's become a little bit confusing as well. So people are a little bit confused. But basically, we had gotten everybody into a very good routine of saying you have to see your gynecologist every year, get a pap smear done every year. With the newer testing that we have, the pap smears are a little bit more accurate. Also, we do a test for HPV, which is the virus that causes cervical cancer and precancerous changes. And so people have those tests done every 3 to 5 years, and the tests are completely normal. Then every 3 to 5 years is how often they need to have the pap smear test done. It's still recommended that between kind of the ages of 30 and 65 that you see your gynecologist once a year. They do other things other than pap smears. They can do, you know, sexual transmitted disease testing, you know, help with pregnancy considerations and fertility, do the rectal exams and breast exams, keep people up to date on their colon cancer screening and breast cancer screening. So there's other reasons to see the gynecologist once a year. But in terms of cervical cancer screening, if you're someone who, if your tests are normal, you really, at this point, they need to send it once every 3 to 5 years. If your test is abnormal, then it becomes a different, we have to watch things a little bit more carefully, and then it's something that often becomes a once a year screening for precancer, the cervix, or cancerous changes. But again, it's still recommended that, you know, again, between ages 30 and 65, we go to the gynecologist once a year. There is some differing opinion in terms of when to start pap smears. It's very, very uncommon for anyone to have cervical cancer at less than age 25 or 30. And so we've kind of moved back to first real pap smear exam and gynecology exam. The American Cancer Society recommends that age 25. The American College of OBGYN says between, you know, 21 and 24 to start that, and then do pap smear every 3 years during that time period. So again, there's the recommendations are a little bit different. The doctors are confused as well. But really, you know, if a patient's seeing the gynecologist once a year, they can help explain, you know, are they due for another cervical cancer screening test yet? Or, you know, is it something that they in their particular situation need once every 3 to 5 years, or whether they need once a year?
Given the demographic of my audience in particular, two or three times you mentioned to 65, does that mean you stop at 65, or do you continue?
So in terms of the recommendations, which some are kind of are basically, you know, born out of cost considerations, things like that, the recommendation is if you've had normal pap smears and no history of any severe precancerous changes up to age 65, it's unlikely that you're going to develop them in the future. Again, the process usually takes, you know, 5 years or so to develop. And if you haven't been exposed or had a problem with an HPV infection that's caused, you know, severe precancerous changes to that point, it would be unlikely that it would happen. So that's the reason why, you know, if you've had all normal pap smears to that point, to age 65, that we can consider stopping screening. The recommendation is to still regularly see the gynecologist. Again, it can do breast exams, rectal exams, issues with incontinence, issues with uterine prolapse or cystocele, rectocele, where the tissue in that area is bulging. You know, other things that can be helped by the gynecologist other than cervical cancer screening. But so it's still recommended that they go regularly to a gynecologist indefinitely. But as far as Pap smears, if they're all been normal for their entire life up to age 65, it's unlikely they're going to have a problem. And so stopping Pap smear screening and HPV testing is reasonable. Now, again, if people have had an issue, said if they, you know, some people have had a hysterectomy because they had severe precancerous change in the cervix, that's a different situation. The recommendation is that people get followed carefully for 25 years after that, regardless of what age that happens at. So again, something that, you know, if you're seeing the gynecologist regularly, they can help walk through, you know, what the correct time interval is and what tests need to be done, things like that. So it's still recommended that you check in with you know, again, your gynecologist or your primary care doctor if they do Pap smears, again, depending on what that doctor does during their yearly exam.
And to all the audience, we're going to get to HPV and the HPV vaccine in depth. I promise you we're going to get there. But one of the things that you said, Dr. Morrissey, as I was listening to you, and also in your bio, is you are also focused on ovarian and uterine cancer. And we're here to talk about cervical cancer, and we are. But what is the interrelationship between those? Are they completely different? Does one follow the other? And that really is my complete naivete speaking.
Yeah, no. So they really are different. They're in a similar area of the body, but the three kind of different processes are completely different. And again, with regular exams, those are things that are discussed. As far as, you know, cervical cancer, the best way to pick it up early is with an abnormal Pap smear and abnormal HPV test. Although patients are having bleeding or bleeding after exercise, bleeding after intercourse, or a discharge that doesn't go away, things like that, those are things that need to be checked out by the gynecologist, not because there's a high likelihood that there's cancer there, but that the possibility or, you know, whatever it is, it needs to be addressed and can be figured out and addressed. Bleeding, especially in people who haven't gotten their period in a while, is often an early sign of a precancerous or cancerous change of the uterus. The most common type of cancer that we take care of is endometrial cancer. And again, we're very good at treating that and with a very high cure rate, because usually bleeding in people who are, you know, in their late 50s or 60s and haven't had bleeding in a while, all of a sudden they have bleeding, and which leads them to the gynecologist, which leads to the testing that picks these cancers up early, which we can cure at a very high rate with surgery if they're caught early. And most endometrial cancers are because people have these symptoms and they do go to the gynecologist. Ovarian cancer is a little bit different. We do not have a great screening test for ovary cancer. There is an increased risk in people who have a family history of it, or a family history of breast cancer or some other cancers. And so there's things that can be discussed with the gynecologist as far as genetic testing and things like that that may be able to tailor how closely we need to watch people, or whether even in certain situations when they have a gene that puts them at higher risk for having ovary cancer, we can do a preventative surgery and remove the ovaries before cancer develops. But again, these are all things that a good gynecology visit that kind of addresses, you know, all of these things can talk about this, you know, once a year and make sure that everything that needs to be done is being done.
That's great. If you're just tuning in, this is, of course, Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. I'm fortunate enough tonight, or very fortunate tonight, to have Dr. Thomas Morrissey as my guest. He is the director of gynecologic oncology at Lynn Cancer Institute. We're talking about a cancer that I know scares a lot of people, cervical cancer, but we're making great progress. And if you've just tuned in and missed the beginning, I'm going to tell you how you can listen more. I'm also going to tell you how you can reach Dr. Morrissey soon. We're going to talk about the HPV vaccine, and we're going to talk about why that is so important, what that's doing. We'll talk about what HPV is, because there's a lot of misunderstanding about that. But I know in my preparation for the show tonight and talking to Dr. Morrissey, he actually believes that there is a chance that we can eradicate this. And if you're worried about it, if you have a family history or if you have young people in your life that you worry about or old people in your life that you worry about, you're going to want to stay tuned when we come back with Dr. Morrissey. If you have guests for Dr. If you have questions for Dr. Morrissey or for myself, you can call us at 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by six family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Eldercare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with healthcare challenges.
As a patient advocate, Eldercare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make Eldercare 360 part of your team. Eldercare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
You might know that one out of four adults over 65 fall and end up in the emergency room each year. What hits even closer to home is that one in 10 adults over 65 fall every hour of every day in Palm Beach County. Hi, I'm Dan Lagani, the CEO and co-founder of Silver Solutions, the on-demand safe living and home solutions company. At Silver Solutions, our mission is to help make your future look different. For over a decade, we've been working with families like yours to eliminate home safety risks so that you or mom can safely age in place. And when it's time to downsize or ready a family home for sale after a loss, Silver Solutions specialists will also help and do the work for you. To find out more, call now to schedule a free home assessment at 1-877-AGE-SAFE. That's 1-877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online now at silversolutions.com. Silver Solutions, we make growing older safer and easier for the whole family.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're thrilled that you're spending some of your Monday evening with us and my guest, Dr. Tom Morrissey, who is part of the Lynn Cancer Institute Baptist Health South Florida group specializing in gynecologic oncology. Dr. Morrissey is doing amazing work at Lynn Cancer Institute. Dr. Morrissey, before the break, I said that you're really growing in confidence that we're making enormous progress and may at some point virtually eradicate cervical cancer. Can you talk to that a little bit?
Yeah, so again, it's something that we've gotten much better at picking up early, especially in the United States. We're getting down to where it's only 14,000 cases per year, from where, 50 years ago it was many times that. In the worldwide, that's still a major issue. There's about 300,000 cases per year, again, with areas that don't have access to screening and optimal treatment. So it's a big worldwide problem. Oh, but cervix cancer, in terms of trying to figure out the problem, we became very fortunate that the science found that there are a virus called HPV, which is a very common virus that the majority of the population is exposed to, in part causes cervical cancer. So about 85% of people, all people, males and females, are exposed to this virus in the genital area. For the vast majority of people, they never know that they had it, but it doesn't cause any problems, and their immune system kind of fights it off and it doesn't let it cause any problems. But in some people, for reasons that we don't fully understand, even though they're otherwise completely healthy and it's not a genetic thing, it's not a, a diet thing, it's not anything that we can very, very much figure out. But people with this viral infection, if their body's immune system doesn't clear it, it can go on and cause precancerous changes that over years can become worse and worse and eventually develop cervical cancer. So, again, the vast majority of people who get this viral infection don't get cervical cancer. A very, very small proportion of it do. But without the infection, you really can't get cervical cancer of the usual type. So it's thought that it's necessary, but not sufficient to develop cervical cancer. Without an HPV infection, you can't have it. But just because you have the infection doesn't mean you're going to get it. And so that turned into a target and said, if we figure out a way to reduce the risk of getting it. And again, the problem with this virus is it's so prevalent in the population. Again, most males know that they have it, but it doesn't cause any, don't know that they have it. It doesn't cause any problems for them. And we don't do pap smears on males and things like that. So again, there's no way for them to know that they have it. Most females are exposed at some point, usually during their, teenage and 20s, to these viruses through some sort of sexual activity. And again, that's kind of where things are propagated there. So in terms of if we can figure out a way to prevent it, so one way to prevent it would be abstinence, which has never worked.
Good luck with that, right? Good luck, right?
Transmitted disease. Yeah. And again, in terms of with any activity, anybody who wants to become pregnant or things like that, then there's necessary that they're being exposed to possible high chance that they're being exposed to HPV. So the next step was to say, hey, if we reduce the risk of it. So again, abstinence doesn't work. Barrier contraception like condoms, things like that, can reduce the risk somewhat, but only if you use it exactly right every single time. And still in that situation, the virus lives in the skin around the whole genital area, so it can't be blocked by just a piece of rubber. So that's not 100% either. So another thing, since it's a viral infection, so could we prevent it or prevent problems with a vaccine? So they developed an HPV vaccine, which has been developed to target younger people. We try to give it to people between ages 9 and 26. Kind of the target age really is at 11 and 12. It's supposed to be part of the routine recommended vaccinations. That's per the American Academy of Pediatrics and American Committee on Immunization Practices. And when it's given to the 11 and 12-year-olds, it's given two doses of that vaccine, and it's very, very highly effective at preventing precancerous changes and cancerous changes, both in females and males. Again, it's very rare for the HPV to cause any precancer or cancerous changes, but it can sometimes cause warts. Also, we think that the vaccine can reduce the amount of HPV that's being carried and help the body kind of clear it. So I think that there will be less HPV to spread to females from males if we're able to vaccinate a large enough proportion of population.
Right.
The studies, again, have been 15 years initially done in Europe that hasn't shown any waning immunity, that there's been very, very highly effective reducing the risk of precancer of the cervix and cancer of the cervix by 99%. It also reduces the risk of cancer of the vulvar area and vaginal area, and also precancerous changes of the anal area and penile area. But again, those things are a little bit more rare.
I want to ask so many questions about this, as I'm sure, and I'm sure my audience does too. And I'm going to get to those as soon as we come back. I want to talk about why boys and girls, and why so young, and how we can deal with the misconceptions around this disease about whether we're giving permission for young people to be sexually active and all of the questions that I'm sure you deal with every day and some of my audience may have on their mind. In fact, if you do have questions for my guest, Dr. Thomas Morrissey from the Lynn Cancer Institute at Baptist Health South Florida, about cervical cancer, about HPV in particular, why the vaccine is so important, how you can prevent cervical cancer. We're also going to talk about, in the unfortunate situation where you actually do contract cervical cancer, we're going to come back and talk about treatments and survival rates, et cetera, and we're going to discuss all of those. We have a lot more to talk about. But if you have questions that you think are better than my questions for Dr. Morrissey, you can ask them by calling us at 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were stationed might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. For our new listeners in the Broward County area, this is Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. We're here every Monday from 6 to 7 talking about issues that confront boomers and their parents. If you're a regular listener, you know we're here every Monday night from 6 to 7 talking about issues that confront boomers and their parents. Tonight, a show that spans all ages because we're talking about cervical cancer, which I think most of my audience would think happens when you get older, but you can prevent it when you're younger. And my guest tonight is going to explain just a little bit more about that right now. Dr. Thomas Morrissey is here. He is the director of gynecologic oncology at the Lynn Cancer Institute, which is a part of the Baptist Health South Florida group. And I couldn't be more excited to have him here. Before the break, we were talking about the HPV virus, and we began to touch on the vaccine. So Dr. Morrissey, right before the break, you talked about vaccinating both boys and girls. Obviously, cervical cancer is not a problem that men will ever have to deal with, but explain why it's important to vaccinate both boys and girls, and why so young?
Right. So in terms of things, like I said, like we talked about, kind of the target age for this vaccine is from age 9 to 26. But the real target age, as far as the American Association of Pediatrics recommendations and the community immunization practice, recommend it be done at age 11 and 12 as part of that yearly visit for the kids. The reason for that is, like any vaccine, it works better before people are exposed to what you're trying to prevent. So all the other shots that we get, and measles, mumps, rubella, all those types of things, you want your kid immune to that before they become exposed. The hope is that at age 11 and 12, that kids have not become sexually active yet. We know, the reason why it's indicated from ages 9 to 26, because there are certain populations and certain situations where, unfortunately, that it may be the case where they're active earlier, that you're able to give it at an earlier age. But at 11 and 12, the thinking is if you can provide immunity before people are exposed, then there's a very good chance of being able to prevent disease. The reason initially was approved for females, obviously, because we were able to show very well and very quickly, because the effect was so dramatic, that it reduced the risk of precancerous changes and abnormal pap smears and things like that in young females who had been vaccinated, kind of reducing the risk of precancer and cancer by 99% in those patients. But obviously the way that many females, or most females, are exposed to HPV in the genital areas through some sort of sexual contact with males, and the thinking being, if we can reduce the amount of HPV that's around, or help suppress the amount so that it's less infectious, then it could possibly reduce the risk of HPV-related disease in everyone. It also has been shown, in studies that they did do in males and men who have sex with men, things like that, it does reduce significantly the risk of precancerous changes in the anal area that's related to HPV, and the penile area related to HPV. And so they did similar studies showing that, yes, it is really, 99% effective at reducing these things in males as well. But in terms of, that's a minority of the males that fall in that category. The bigger effect, we hope, is that by reducing kind of the overall burden of HPV in both males and females in that whole, young adolescent, the young adult group, that will have much less precancerous changes, much less disease due to HPV in that group.
And to be clear, this does in no way give young people permission to go out and become sexually active, because sexual activity can bring many other diseases, not only those caused by HPV, and not a disease, but right. It could also bring on pregnancy, unwanted pregnancy. So
correct.
Am I? How do we communicate, or maybe I just did? How do we communicate that this is not a permission slip?
Yeah, I mean, again, as part of the taking care of young adolescents, it is a difficult job. But in terms of the counseling that needs to be done, is regarding this, that, again, HPV is one problem, and it's really, kind of focused on, we're doing this to prevent, or reduce the risk significantly of you getting cancer, but also warts and other things that HPV can cause, but that the vaccine in no way prevents pregnancy, in no way prevents other sexually transmitted diseases, which it's very important that, we take precautions against and be vigilant on and test for those things if they're if there's problems there. So, I mean, in terms of it's kind of one part of sexual health, if you will, of sex ed. But I think that we've been very successful in getting the word out. And part of the reason is because it is so dramatically effective, that it's, again, really 99%, reduction in the risk of things. And we hope that as we're doing a good job at getting the majority of the population vaccinated at these ages, that this should go forward. And in the future, I should see less and less abnormal pap smears, precancerous changes, cervical cancer. And we've already seen a dramatic decrease in those things.
And as it is not only not a permission slip for young people to become sexually active at a younger age, it's also not a pass for their parents to continue to educate them about the risks associated with this. But and not putting words into your mouth, and we'll talk about this more after this next break, what we're really seeing is so far this has the potential to make cervical cancer obsolete,
right?
Which is obviously
That's the goal.
If you're just tuning in, we're having a wonderful conversation with Dr. Thomas Morrissey, who's the director of gynecologic oncology at Lynn Cancer Institute. We're talking about cervical cancer. We're making unbelievable progress. When I say we, I mean he, because I obviously am not making any progress in that. But Dr. Morrissey is gaining a level of confidence and optimism about the disease. We're going to talk more about cervical cancer. We're going to talk about treatment. We're going to talk about whether or not it's hereditary. We're going to talk about how you can go see Dr. Morrissey if you think you are, and what the process unfolds, and what some of the we'll review again some of the early warning signs. If you have any questions for Dr. Morrissey or for myself about cervical cancer, cervical abnormalities, you can reach us at 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
Long before most of us ever heard of COVID-19, Silver Solutions understood that growing older wouldn't always be easy, but it could be safer and more rewarding. At Silver Solutions, we pride ourselves on creating physically safer homes for older adults, wherever home is. Whether you're senior-proofing your current home, downsizing to assisted living, or emptying a home after the loss of a loved one, Silver Solutions can help. To find out more about our services or to schedule a free virtual home assessment, call Silver Solutions today at 1-877-AGE-SAFE. That's 1-877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online at silversolutions.com. Our specialists are deeply experienced, compassionate, and follow rigorous CDC guidelines, including the use of full personal protective equipment for your family's safety. You can't control everything in life, but when it comes to making growing older safer and less stressful, you can count on Silver Solutions.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. ElderCare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with healthcare challenges.
As a patient advocate, ElderCare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make ElderCare 360 part of your team. ElderCare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're thrilled that you're with us tonight, getting ready, of course, for the big football game. But more important is my guest, Dr. Thomas Morrissey, who is the director of gynecologic oncology at Lynn Cancer Institute, which is part of the Baptist Health System of South Florida. We're very excited that he's here. We're talking about cervical cancer, and we're getting close, if you've been listening, to eradicating it, which is really remarkable. And it all begins quite early. Dr. Morrissey, before I forget, how do people reach you if they want to come and see you? I should ask you that so that people know.
Yeah, no, so yeah, like I said, I'm at Lynn Cancer Institute, affiliated with Boca Raton Regional Hospital and with the Baptist Health System. So my main office number there is 561-955-4986. That's 561-955-4986. And again, we're happy to take questions and see if people will be an appropriate patient, or if we can point them in the right direction. If they, you know, again, for a gynecologist, or if they have any other kind of questions related to gynecologic cancers, genetics, anything we can help with, we're happy to take care of.
So that begs the first question. Is this hereditary in any way, shape, or form, or are these types of cancers?
Cervical cancer is not. So, again, it's related to HPV infection, which, again, you know, the majority of people are exposed to HPV at some point in their life, and the vast majority of people do not have precancerous changes or cervical cancer. But we know if you don't have HPV, that really the cervical cancer, the usual type, can't happen. So in terms of things, you know, reducing the risk of having by giving immunity to HPV has been very, very effective at reducing the risk of developing cancer and precancer, and so effective to the point where it's been proposed that, you know, if we're able to vaccinate a large enough amount of the population, that potentially we can eradicate cervical cancer and make it a very, very rare disease, similar to what had been done with polio. And so targets have been placed on this by the World Health Organization to do this worldwide by 2050, and also by the American Cancer Society, you know, more closer to home, where we should be a little bit farther along in terms of our being able to vaccine a large amount of the population. We're trying to get 85% of teenagers vaccinated and have that happen by 2030. And so, you know, with the goal of trying to make cervical cancer a very, very rare disease by 2040 or 2050. And everything points towards that being very possible.
So what's going on in a woman's day-to-day experience, daily life, that should make her think she should come see you? Right?
The important thing, you know, like we talked about before, is for people to have their routine, you know, maintenance health exams with their primary care physician. And, you know, for women with their gynecologist, and, you know, that should be kind of the first stop in terms of, you know, I have a symptom that I'm worried about, or I have a question that I'm worried about, you know, their gynecologist should be able to either, you know, do a further evaluation or answer the question on that, or when appropriate, should be able to refer the patient to me very quickly, you know, so that we can do whatever needs to be done to evaluate the symptoms and cure any problem, hopefully, if things are caught at an early stage. So in terms of, I think most of my patients are patients who've seen their primary care physician or their gynecologist first and said, yes, this is a problem that needs, you know, the attention of a specialist like Dr. Morrissey. And then, you know, obviously we expedite things and take care of things as soon as possible at that point. People, again, if they patients, we often find that people who moved here from north, things like that, haven't gotten their kind of health care services all in line yet and may not have a primary care physician, may have difficulty finding a gynecologist. Those types of things we can help with, you know, if patients contact our office, if they have a concern from a cancer standpoint, you know, we can point them in the right direction. If it's something that doesn't directly need to see a specialist for a concern regarding cancer immediately.
And the early warning signs that people should be paying attention to?
Yeah, so for cervical cancer, it would be, you know, in terms of, it would be bleeding, especially people bleeding after exercise or bleeding after intercourse, or a discharge or drainage that's continuous, that doesn't go away, or pain in the pelvic area, pain in the lower back, things like that, that don't go away. And especially in a patient who hasn't had a pelvic exam in a long period of time, because as we said, the majority of patients with cervical cancer are patients who are not up to date on their screening. And so in terms of that, those would be the things to bring to the attention of your gynecologist or your primary care physician so that they can triage that. And then, again, if it's concerning and it's something that needs to see, you know, a specialist right away, we do that. Again, when we get a call that a patient needs my help, we see that within 24 to 48 hours.
Does menopause play any role in this conversation?
As far as cervical cancer, no. I mean, in terms of, you know, it can happen at any age. Cervical cancer can happen in the 30s and 40s, but then there's also a group that may happen in a slightly older age group as well, but it can happen at any point, you know, after age 21, really. And so it's one of those things that it's important to keep up with the screening recommendations. Like I said, if people have had regular pap smears their entire life up to age 65 and have never had any problem, any abnormal pap smear, it's very unlikely that they're going to have any problem in the future and may not need to have screening done anymore. But even in those patients, they still benefit from a regular, you know, gynecologic exam, you know, once a year or once every 2 years, so they can stay up to date and their breast exam and mammograms, rectal exam, colorectal cancer screening, make sure there's no other issues there. Menopause symptoms, things like that are other things that the gynecologist can address at their routine maintenance visit.
If you just tuned in, you missed a hell of a show. We're talking about cervical cancer. We've been talking about HPV. We've been talking about the causes. We haven't yet talked about the treatment. We are going to get to that. But if you're sorry you missed the beginning of the show, I have good news for you. You don't have to miss it forever. Up and running tomorrow around noontime, we will podcast this. All you have to do is search OMG I'm Getting on your podcast platform, and the show will be there, as of course will be all of the previous shows that we've done in the last few years. If podcasting isn't for you, and not for everybody, you can go to my website at palmbeach.comforcare.com, comforcare. I promise you, your spell check, something's going to want to put a T in there. If you put a T in there, you won't find us. It's not Comfort Care, it's Comfort Care. It's Palm Beach. comfortcare.com, and you'll be able to listen to this show. Of course, there is no reason you should ever be late, because even if you're running late, you can just download the iHeartRadio app, set a reminder to listen to us on True Oldies in the Palm Beaches, broadcasting now from Fort Lauderdale to Fort Pierce. Just set it for 6 o'clock Monday, and we'll be there. And wherever you are, we simulcast TrueOldiesFLA.com. You can listen to this show anywhere you happen to be, TrueOldiesFLA.com. We have a great show next week. We're going to be talking about care management next week. Care management is that service which can help you from afar, or even from nearby, if you're not if you're not able or unable to care for somebody you love. Care management can step in and kind of be, for lack of a better term, that daughter that you wish you could be, but you can't because you have a whole lot of other responsibilities, or son. Allison Shevlin's going to be here. She's going to talk about care management. In 2 weeks, we're going to totally flip it up, and we're going to talk about music. We're going to talk about the changing tastes in music. We're going to talk about tribute bands. We're going to talk about older artists. We're going to talk about how you can see them, what's available, what's going on in that world, with Ron Gartner and Fran Heller from Bicoastal Productions. They're a fascinating couple. I know them pretty well. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to be talking about music. But in the time that I have left with my guest, Dr. Thomas Morrissey from Lynn Cancer Institute at Baptist Health in South Florida. Dr. Morrissey, we didn't spend any time really on the unfortunate diagnosis of cervical cancer. Tell us a little bit about the treatment, and what people can expect, and the cure rates.
Right. So again, and people are getting regular checkups, and especially in people, you know, who are vaccinated, it's becoming less and less common, but And patients, again, if they have some precancerous changes picked up on a pap smear, and that alerts us that there's a problem. It's sometimes something that can be cured and fixed with a very minor surgical procedure to remove the small area of precancerous changes from the cervix. If an actual cancer is developed, the best treatment is dependent on how large things are, what stage things are. We hope that we're catching things where they're just in the cervix and it hasn't spread anywhere else. If that's the case, it's something that's very often curable. I mean, 95% curable as long as it's remaining, you know, in the cervix and in the pelvic area. If it's very, very early, it's something that would be fixed with a surgery. It's called like a radical hysterectomy, which you need a specialist to perform that surgery. But again, it's very successful at treating very early cervical cancers. If it's not quite as early, but still in the pelvic area, it's still something that's very curable with radiation treatment and a small amount of chemotherapy. If the cancer is caught very late, where it's already spread outside the pelvic area, then it's not as fixable, although we're becoming better at treating those things. There are new medications that have been developed within the last year, which are very promising and help keep things under control. But again, you know, this is something that we hope to prevent, if not completely prevent it, make sure that if it does develop, we catch it very, very early, where we have, you know, close to 100% cure rate, as long as we're catching it early with the treatments that we have.
And help everybody understand a little bit about Lynn Cancer Institute. It's really kind of an underappreciated resource in the community. Maybe I'm putting you on your spot because we didn't talk much about that before the show, but it's really quite remarkable, and you're a major part of that, are you not?
Right. So, I mean, part of the reason that I came to work for Lynn, and, you know, again, with the program that Baptist Health is helping build in Boca Raton, with Boca Raton Regional Hospital and also the Lynn Cancer Institute, is we really have a full service cancer institute to try to make it as easy as possible for people to have all their treatment, and also make sure that we're doing everything in a state-of-the-art manner with the latest equipment, with physicians who are very well trained and very up to date on what the absolute best treatment for cancer is in 2023. So under one roof, like I said, in terms of my patients with cervical cancer or ovary cancer, endometrial cancer, they may need surgery, which again, I'm the surgeon who performs that, but also help coordinate the chemotherapy treatments with the medical oncologist that we have on the second floor of my building, and the radiation oncology department that's on the first floor of my building, and with the social workers and cancer support, cancer care support people that we have, to try to make the whole cancer journey a little bit easier, but also make sure that we're doing the absolute best that we possibly can to cure each cancer as they come in.
I know, sadly, as friends of mine who have been at Lynn Cancer, and I kind of personally, I hate the word holistic because it conjures up visions of, you know, non-traditional medication, but you really do treat the whole person. And I know that. And so for my audience, I encourage you, if you think that this is a problem, particularly cervical cancer, Dr. Thomas Morrissey, my guest tonight, you should not hesitate to investigate, to go see them. It's world-class treatment in a world-class facility by world-class physicians. So, Dr. Morrissey, again, tell everybody how they can reach you if they want more information, or if they think they need to see you because they're worried about what may be going on with them.
Great. Yeah, again, you know, for my specific department of gynecologic oncology, my office number is 561-955-4986. But again, we have information available on the internet, in terms of, if you, you know, Lynn Cancer Institute, you Google that, or, you know, Boca Raton Regional Hospital. The doctors who are a part of Lynn Cancer Institute are affiliated with that hospital as well, to get any information that you need. And again, you can look in Baptist Health, South Florida, website as well, where you could find a doctor for not only gynecologic cancer, but any other kind of cancer concern that you may have.
So, Dr. Morrissey, I can't thank you enough. You're a busy guy. This takes a lot of time, both in preparation and doing the show tonight. I am most appreciative of you putting out this information for my audience. I am appreciative of all the work you do. I'm just as appreciative of the time that you spent tonight. Thank you so much for being here. It's been really very interesting. My wife sits in the studio, and I said to her, I keep learning things every time. No, not more, any more than I was did tonight, but you very much appreciate it. Thank you.
Great. Well, thanks so much for the opportunity, you know, again, and happy to do it at any point in the future if there's any other questions. And again, patients are more than welcome to call, and we'll help in any way we can.
That's great. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Every Monday night at 6 o'clock from 6 to 7. Please come in next week when my guest will be Allison Shevlin talking about Care Manager. Thank you, Dr. Morrissey. Thank you, Lynn Cancer Institute. Thank you, Baptist Health. Have a good night, everybody. We'll see you next week. Good night.